This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
This is Eric Michaels, and once again, you have tuned into the eHealth Radio Network and the Autistic Syndrome Information Channel. Make sure you connect with us on Facebook to receive the latest programming for your convenience, simply at eHealth Radio. Today, we are speaking with Ann Maxwell, who is a child play and family therapist and an access consciousness facilitator with over 20 years of experience working with children of all ages and backgrounds who have been given all kinds of diagnoses. She is also the author of the book, Would You Teach a Fish to Climb a Tree? Ann, thanks so much for joining us here today on eHealth Radio.
Eric, thank you so much for inviting me. I'm thrilled to join you, and I love this topic. It's one of my absolute favorites, as you can imagine, from my experience working with kids.
Well, I'm looking forward to hearing from you as well. So first of all, for starters, why did you write the book, Would You Teach a Fish to Climb a Tree? Certainly an attractive title there.
You know, the title came or comes from a quote by Albert Einstein, which is, everybody is a genius. But if you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, it will live its whole life believing that it is stupid. And all the years that I've worked with kids and families, some of my favorite kids have been the ones that have been diagnosed with ADD and ADHD and OCD and autism. And they're sparkly, they're bright, they're enthusiastic. Many of them are brilliant. Many of them are incredibly extroverted and sort of in your face, and others are appear to be shut down and almost motionless, like they don't talk. And yet I always knew that there was more there than met the eye. And the other thing that I know is I was trained by some of the very best in the field, and a lot of the traditional interventions simply don't work with them. They didn't back then, and they don't now. And what I've come to realize over the course of the last several years is that these kids really are different. And it's not that there's anything wrong with them. They're just different. And so they require different tools, if you will, and different strategies, different interventions to help them thrive. And that's a different concept from teaching them how to become somebody that they're not, right? Like correcting their behavior or making them do stuff that they're inherently incapable of doing, like fish can't climb trees, right? I mean, it's just not possible. So that the reason that Gary Douglas and Dr. Dane here and I wrote the book was for that very reason, was just to get this different take on these kids out into the world and get people to begin to talk about them in a way that is helpful to them and can create more ease for them and more ease for themselves and more ease in schools and homes, like everywhere.
You certainly work with a lot of children with autism and have a totally different take. Can you tell us about your take and approach with this?
You know, kids with autism are very, very different. They communicate differently. They connect with people differently. They really have a completely different level of awareness, and they pick up information differently from most of us. And so often the conclusion is reached that these kids who don't fit in, as I said, need to be taught how to behave so they can learn to function as if they were normal or regular. And kids with autism dislike that, just like the rest of us do. None of us like being told that we need to be somebody that we're not. And the thing about kids with autism is that they're not normal and they're not average. And so our take on them is that they communicate completely differently from the way they do. And one of the things that we're really interested in doing is teaching them the way they learn rather than the way we think they should learn. And, you know, I'll use the word energy here because it seems to fit, but they really seem to communicate a lot more nonverbally and almost like energetically than verbally a lot of times. A lot of times the words don't actually match what they see or what they get. And just as an example of that, if you're a parent and you see your baby's crying, I bet most of you can tell the difference between a wet diaper cry and a tired cry and a hungry cry. And it's not because the baby says to you directly with words, my diaper's wet, I need a change. It's that you pick it up energetically, right? You pick it up sort of intuitively. And that's really how people with autism function. And so when we ask them to use their words and to slow down, it aggravates them because they function much more quickly than that. And they don't function in a linear way. They don't go from A to B to C all the way up to Z, which is what a lot of school learning is all about right now. They go, you know, they do a little bit here and a little bit there and a little bit here and a little bit there and a little bit there. And a lot of times they can't, for example, they can't show their work. And so the teachers will take points away for them because they don't see how they got there. Anyway, I could go on and on. but just as an example about how different they are, what if there's nothing wrong with learning the way they learn? What if it's not right and what if it's not wrong? It's just different. So, yeah, does that make sense?
Makes a lot of sense. I like that. What can be done for children who have a hard time focusing and concentrating?
You know, I was one of those kids growing up. I could never focus and concentrate, and a lot of the stuff that was written on my report card was doesn't live up to her full potential, doesn't complete what she starts, right? Like that kind of stuff. The teachers loved me, but I just was all over the place. You know, I don't know about you. I don't know about any of you who have kids who've been labeled with ADD or ADHD. But the main complaint and the primary focus of school is to make them focus and concentrate and do one thing at a time and finish it and then move on to the next thing. And for kids with ADD and ADHD, that is a physical, emotional, psychological, an absolute impossibility. They simply don't function like that. And so one of the things that you can do with them is to give them several things to do at the same time. And I can just use myself as an example. I always have more than one project working at the same time and more than one trip planned and more than one article planned. And I, you know, make the bed and make soup and go out in the garden and do all this stuff all at the same time. And one of the things that I love about the approach in the book is the notion that there's nothing wrong with that, because I've always functioned like that, but I've always felt very bad about it, that somehow there was something wrong with me that I couldn't do one thing at a time. So that's one thing to do with kids with ADD and ADHD, is give them lots of stuff to do. So in terms of homework, to let them do more than just one topic at the same time. And if they want the TV on or the radio on, a lot of times that's incredibly helpful for them as well. Other things that are really useful for kids with ADHD and ADD, like the rest of it, is that if they're able to be outdoors and spend time with animals and run around and play, they tend to do so much better than if they're confined and sort of cooped up in these tight little places. These are kids who need to be on the move, and they need to be given permission to move. And when they are, they do so much better. Getting their bodies going is also wonderful, like being on a trampoline or running or swimming or horseback riding, like those kinds of things. But really getting their bodies going is also just to like, it's almost like to not even to work off that energy, but just to get their cells going is incredibly helpful too. Those are some of the, just a few of the tools.
Today we're joined by Ann Maxwell, who is a child play and family therapist and an access consciousness facilitator with over 20 years of experience working with children of all ages and backgrounds, who has been given all kinds of diagnosis. And she has joined us here today on eHealth Radio's Autistic Syndrome Information Channel, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Lastly, is there one thing you'd wish that parents could take away after reading the book? What would that be?
You know, the one thing that I would really encourage parents, the two things actually, is really to trust what you know about your kids. I knew that these kids were different and that so much more was possible for them than what the experts told me and the way I was trained. And I knew that a lot of the things, I started off in a residential treatment center 20 plus years ago, which is, for those of you who aren't familiar with that, it's really the end of the road for kids. Like the next step beyond that is either a psychiatric facility or the Department of Youth Corrections, like detention or something like that. But these are kids who haven't been able to make it either in a public school setting or any school setting, actually, and certainly in any home, either foster, regular home, group home, whatever. And so
that they were different. And one of the things that I knew that there was something different, but I didn't know what to do with it. And so one of the tools that I would encourage all of you to use is to ask questions. And the questions that I'm talking about are not questions that are designed to come up with a right answer or the not wrong answer. The questions that I'm talking about are questions that are asked so that you have an awareness of what actually is true for you and what actually is going to work with your kids. So, for example, what do you want for dinner? Is that a question or is that a statement with a question mark at the end of it? And most people say that's a question. But in fact, it's a statement with a question mark at the end of it because it presupposes, A, that they're hungry, B, that they're going to eat, and C, that it's going to be in the form of dinner, right? What do you want for dinner? Presupposes those three things. What's the question that you could ask is, are you hungry, right? Do you have homework? Yes. Not when are you going to get it done, like that kind of stuff. So really to ask questions. And so if you get that your child is not doing well at school or not doing well at daycare, rather than leap to the conclusion that the staff people are right and that they're misbehaving and it's willful and it's a control battle and that kind of stuff, what if instead you can ask, like, what is this? What's going on here? And ask your child, what's up? And really listen to what they say, because they may say, well, they're stupid and and to not have a judgment or point of view about it, but to ask the next question, which is, so what do you know about that? And what else do you know? What else do you know? And so the asking questions is not only to ask questions of you so that you can get a sense more about what's actually going on, but also to ask questions of your kids. Because when you ask them questions with no point of view about what the answer should be, but where you're really just looking for information and really just looking to get a sense about what it's like to be in their shoes and where they're coming from and what their perspective is, it's amazing what they'll tell you. And it's like a way of not making the fish wrong for not being able to climb a tree, right? It's a way of saying, what do you need? Well, I need water. I can't climb a tree like that.
Well said. And tell us where our folks can get more information on this topic from your recommended source, also where they can purchase your book and how they can be in touch with you as well.
So more about this topic, I would really actually get the book, and you can buy it at Amazon.com. It's available both in paperback and also on Kindle. And I do a lot of work in this area and in a lot of other areas. And so my website is www.childfamilyplaytherapy.com. And all my upcoming classes typically are listed there. I'm doing a telecall in the next month specifically on the book. I've had a lot of people ask me about it. So that should be posted there. And you can also find me on the Access Consciousness website, which is accessconsciousness.com.
Good enough. In conclusion, any final thoughts or a tip for the listeners on today's topic?
You know, I guess one of them is just acknowledge that these kids are different and do it without judging them as either being good or bad or right or wrong. What if different is simply different, and what if there's really nothing wrong with them? And then to ask, okay, so if they weren't wrong, what would they be, right? Another one is, what if they don't need to be fixed? What if they could actually be given the tools and the wherewithal to function in their lives without being made to feel bad for who they are and without fitting in? And so how do you do that? You do that by doing a lot of the stuff that we've talked about, ask them questions, create their lives for them in a way so that they can get what they need in order to thrive, rather than the one most debilitating thing for kids with diagnoses is to be made to feel like there's something wrong with them day in and day out. And to the extent that you can shift that and celebrate the fact that they are different and give them what they require, it's a game changer.
Well, Ann, it certainly has been good to have had you, and thanks so much for taking the time to be with us here today on eHealth Radio.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it, Eric.
And we have appreciated it as well. We've been speaking with Ann Maxwell, who is a child play and family therapist and an access consciousness facilitator with over 20 years of experience working with children of all ages and backgrounds who have been given all kinds of diagnosis. And once again, the website of reference is childfamilyplaytherapy.com. And this has been Eric Michaels, and you've been listening to eHealth Radio and the Autistic Syndrome Information Channel, a part of the eHealth Radio Network, and we do thank you for listening. And until next time, enjoy.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.